your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Yeah, boy. It is indeed. And we got the one and only Josh Aoraki on the phone. How you doing, Josh?
Elder, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to speak to you, friend.
You too.
Lots of funky things happening in space, man.
Oh, we had a couple cool stories in the last few weeks. Our first story is quite exciting for me, but astronomers have announced the third ever interstellar object, which is currently travelling through our solar system, which is very cool. And it looks like it's a comet. So, yeah, a visitor from beyond the solar system, which is very exciting.
Whoa. That's is that cool. Just for us uninitiated, interstellar, what makes an object interstellar?
Yeah, so interstellar is essentially anything that is from beyond the sun. When you think of, like, the solar system, so, you know, the sun, the moons, planets, asteroids, comets, everything in our solar system is basically bound to the sun. But if something is an interstellar object, that means it's not bound to the sun. It's actually come from the galaxy, and we're just kind of, you know, it's passing through our neighborhoods. And, from current, you know, estimates about this object, we believe it's a comet. It's a fairly decently big comet. It's traveling pretty fast. And that tells us that this object is not from the solar system, and it's actually just a visitor kind of passing through, which is really, really cool. And it's only the third one ever confirmed.
Massive news. It's like, I guess, when I saw Jason Momoa and Ponsonby, I was like, you're big and moving fast and not from here.
Interstellar.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's a star.
You picked well at last. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. And so what sort of technology is involved to finding interstellar objects?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of telescope surveys which basically scan the skies, and this was found by one in Chile, which has found quite a lot of objects. The thing about interstellar objects is we've only discovered three of them, and, you know, we think that there's probably about 10 to 20 maybe passing through the solar system every year. But we just haven't had the kind of telescope power to survey the sky. But I remember 2 weeks ago, the last time we spoke of that brand new telescope, the Vera Rubin telescope. So that's just become online, so that telescope is absolutely going to be, you know, discovering these objects, and I think it's very likely that we're now going to be seeing potentially dozens of these objects found every year, which is really exciting because you know, we don't know much about things beyond our own solar system.
Oh, that's cool. Wow, technology,
man,
it's exciting.
Wicked. Absolutely wicked.
Speaking of sort of new findings, I love this. Menstrual cups have been tested in spaceflight conditions for the first time.
Yeah, this is a really cool story. It was basically a bunch of researchers out from Cornell University. They were working on a menstrual cup for female astronauts going into space. It's, you know, never been done before.
Yeah.
But they launched a couple prototypes actually a few years ago. But they've now come out and said that from the testings, that these menstrual cups are actually a really viable option for astronauts. Which, you know, in the future for long duration space missions, you know, off to Mars eventually, those are things we have to think about, because at the moment, for all female astronauts in space, they basically use hormonal contraceptives to put off their periods, put off their menstrual cycles, because, you know, in space it's kind of easier to just not deal with things, but, you know, in the future it's not going to be a viable option for everyone. So actually testing these things and having, you know, menstrual cups in space is fantastic because, you know, you have to be quite, you know, self-sufficient in space. Everything has to be kind of reusable as much as you can. So it's a really great option for future travel.
That's so cool. And also, like, yeah, if we're being real about hormonal contraception, like, if I'm going to space, I don't want to worry about taking the pill and, like, all that sort of entails.
Facts, bro.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I think about, you know, I've used a menstrual cup before, and when I think about doing it in space conditions, is this like low gravity and like is it going to get like messy and crazy? What's happening?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the other thing, is it's not just the practicalities, but it's also the physics of, like, gravity. Will it be able to catch liquids and whatnot? From the testing, and they did all these things while they were actually launching, it does work. The body is actually really, really good at actually, you know, continuing those processes, even in zero-G. It just means that this is a really viable option that we don't need to be sending up female astronauts that are going to be on, you know, hormonal contraceptives, because not everyone wants to be, as you say. It's apparently not very fun.
Yeah, It's not. Awesome. Well, this is so exciting. I mean, yeah, it's just classic, like one of those things that you don't really think about or isn't really talked about. But yeah, making ways for all astronauts to get out into space and not have
injuries
is important.
And the article has a cool graphic too.
Yeah. This like pre-flight and post-flight diagram. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Big fan.
So they tested it with water and with glycerol.
Yeah, so yeah, apparently it works just as well as ones on Earth.
Well, there you go. And finally, we've got more of Trump's fuckery to talk about. What's he done now with NASA?
Yeah, it's the never-ending real-life space opera. I mean, we're 6-7 months into his presidency. NASA still does not have a leader. There is still no head of NASA. Because obviously, I know we spoke about a few of these things, but Elon Musk and Trump had their big fallout a couple of weeks ago.
They broke up.
They broke up. They're no longer together. But previously, basically, Trump had nominated a man named Jared Isaacman to run NASA. And Jared Isaacman was actually Elon Musk's pick. Elon Musk has actually flown him to space. They were quite close. But then, of course, the breakup with Trump and Elon Musk, so then he actually withdrew the nomination of Jared Isaacman to run NASA, and I think he would have been quite decent.
You rate him?
Yeah, I rated him. I think he was very science positive, and I think, you know, with all the, you know, budget cuts that we've been talking about for the last few months, NASA really needs someone who is going to stand up for science and for exploration, and I'd like to think that Jared would have done that, but because Jared is close to Elon Musk, he withdrew his nomination, so NASA still has no leader 7 months later, so they're in a bit of a limbo period at the moment, which is it's pretty devastating, to be honest.
And so we don't have any idea of who Trump might prefer?
I mean, not at this stage. I think, unfortunately, often presidents will pick politicians to run these organizations. And, you know, if Trump's current administration is anything to go by, it's very likely that he'll pick, you know, a Trump loyalist to run this organization. So, you know, I don't think that whoever he appoints is going to have NASA or the general public's interests at the forefront. I think they're going to be a Trump loyalist, which could be really devastating. So, I really hope that doesn't happen.
Who's your pick, like, if not for Jared Isaacman?
If it wasn't Jared Isaacman, I think there's a huge selection of former astronauts and retired astronauts. They've always been really great picks, and I think, you know, people who have experience of going to space, and especially female leaders too, I think, have really done strides at NASA. So, yeah, I think definitely a former astronaut, but I don't think Trump will pick one of them, unfortunately.
Oh dear. Yeah, like you say, never-ending space opera.
I like
that. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more devastating news in 2 weeks, probably.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well, until then.
On that note.
Thank you so much, Josh. Always a pleasure to chat. And thank you to the Stardome. And thank you to space.
All right, no problem. We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.